todolisthome.com. Welcome, I'm your host, Tony Teolis, and we're keeping track of things to do for a better life. Today is May 31, 2012. This is episode 97 of the To Do List Home podcast. Memorial Day tribute for a Medal of Honor winner. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is Fanfare for the Common Man by Aaron Copland. It was written in response to the U.S. entry into the Second World War and was inspired in part by a famous 1942 speech where Vice President Henry A. Wallace proclaimed the dawning of the century of the common man. Watch and listen through the links that can be found in the show notes. This is a repeat from episode 71, but very fitting for today. Todolisthome.com is your resource for information on preparing for the future and retiring early, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency and reliance, home and life improvement projects, and reviews of companies, products, and services to make it all happen. We're making a better life, and this is how we do it. Connect with us. Listen to us on iTunes and podcasts. Watch the To-Do List Home videos on YouTube channel Tokyo73. Follow us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook. Links to all these sites are at todolisthome.com. You'll find files that you can download for your to-do list. Share your to-do list ideas with us and tell your friends about todolisthome.com. On our to-do list today is Memorial Day tribute for a Medal of Honor winner. It has been a busy week as my family carried on a new tradition of hosting my father for a week-long visit over the Memorial Day weekend. Last year, my father was tired of the bullshit of trying to please everyone in my hometown with his efforts to ensure proper Memorial Day observances throughout my small hometown in western Pennsylvania. Here's a shout-out to Elwood City. For the past 50 years, my father's been a major organizer for the Memorial Day Parade, service at Memorial Park, placing flags at veteran graves at the two cemeteries in town, and other events around the town. I grew up learning about Memorial Day from my father. For him, veterans, especially those who died as a result of their service, were never to be forgotten. Thus, going back 50 years, my father established Memorial Park, which happened to be located right across the street from my home. It is a triangular plot of land about 50 meters wide at the base and 75 meters long. The first monument placed there was dedicated to the Elwood City men who went to fight in the First World War and didn't come back. Their names are inscribed on two long walls at the center of which is a World War I artillery cannon. The monuments over the years have increased to include those killed during the Spanish-American War, World War II, the Korean conflict, and the Vietnam War. I was always in awe by my father's reverence towards these veterans, many of those he remembered leaving for World War II, only not to return. Throughout my early years, my brothers and I had to follow my father around town on Memorial Day as he helped to honor those who died and their families, many of whom continue to grieve. All through grade school and high school, my brothers and I had to raise and lower the U.S. flag at Memorial Park, and since we lived in a funeral home, we carried flowers to the monuments after every funeral to keep the place looking nice. Even in his 80s, my father has not slowed in his efforts to work with veterans for benefits from the Veterans Administration, families of the fallen, and school children so that their heritage is not forgotten. Thus, I was surprised last year when he expressed his disappointment at the disagreement that was occurring amongst some of the old veterans as to how to properly observe Memorial Day. He complained to me regularly his disappointment until I had the idea to invite him to spend Memorial Day with us in the nation's capital. We had a wonderful time last year, and we were well prepared to make it more memorable this year. In March 2012, my father received a new mission, which since has rejuvenated his health at the age of 86. He received a call from the widow of Sergeant Leslie H. Sabo Jr., who was killed during the Vietnam War in Cambodia in 1970. Rosemary Sabo informed my father that President Obama had just called her and he wanted her at the White House on May 16 to receive the Medal of Honor for her deceased husband. 42 years after his death, Sergeant Sabo was finally going to be recognized for the acts of selfless bravery that he exhibited on May 10, 1970. Rosemary did not know what to do following the call other than call my father, who is known throughout Lawrence County and Western PA as the Veterans Advocate. My father was quite humbled and honored that he was one of the first people to be informed of the President's invitation to the White House. For the past 2 years, the Medal of Honor citation has been sitting on President Obama's desk, and my father inquired with Mrs. Sabo regularly as to its status. He further was in regular contact with his congressman to ensure that the citation and the president's actions were patiently being waited on in Elwood City. Mrs. Sabo had requested my father's service to help plan and implement a most proper memorial for her husband. Since that day in March, my father has spoken of nothing else and is now head of a memorial fund for a monument that has already exceeded $4,000 in donations. He has been in contact with various members of Congress and the armed forces who all want to participate in the now planned September 30, 2012 memorial service and monument dedication, which will take place at Memorial Park in Elwood City. My father was one to always put veterans first. Honoring the warrior, not the war, was his mission, and he understood better than most folks want to admit that it is the common man that suffers most during war and should never be forgotten. He carries honor for the veterans even when it is not popular. In 1976, he led efforts to erect a monument in memory of the 6 military personnel from Elwood City who were killed in Vietnam, and as in the case of Sergeant Sabo, Cambodia. I remember being there on that day 36 years ago, and I remember the names inscribed, and I remember that this was probably the first Vietnam memorial in America. At the time, Americans wanted to erase the memory of that awful war in Southeast Asia, and the veterans that came from it were not well thought of. However, Sergeant Sabo's name first came to me, and my father can remember serving as an honor guard during his funeral in 1970. Sergeant Sabo died heroically, saving the lives of others in Bravo Company of the 3rd Battalion, 506th Infantry Regiment, U.S. 101st Screaming Eagles Airborne Division, and his day of remembrance has finally arrived. Sabo was nominated for the Medal of Honor shortly after his death, but the records were lost. In 1999, a fellow Vietnam War veteran stumbled across the records and began the process of reopening Sergeant Sabo's nomination. After a protracted process, Sabo's family received the Medal of Honor from President Barack Obama on 16 May 2012, 42 years after his death. Thus, my father wanted to visit my family, and this Memorial Day weekend, we had a mission to fulfill while he was here. He wanted to be everywhere Sergeant Sabo's name could be found in Washington, D.C., and he wanted to let everyone he met along the way know who Sergeant Sabo was and what he did. 42 years ago, American forces had invaded neutral Cambodia in pursuit of North Vietnamese regulars. And although Sergeant Sabo was nominated at the time for the medal, I believe the fact that it happened in Cambodia when President Nixon repeatedly denied that we were fighting there also denied Sergeant Sabo's acts of valor from being known to the public. Knowing that my father would want nothing less than to fulfill this mission of finding Sergeant Sabo's name everywhere in D.C. and spreading the word about his medal, I started to plan for his trip not long after I got him a plane ticket about a month and a half ago. I did some extensive research on the Medal of Honor and mailed a package of it to my father, which he copied and gave to Mrs. Sabo, who was quite happy to learn of the significance of the medal and the unique class of characters who her husband belongs to now. My research led me to the Hall of Heroes located in the Pentagon. This room is a room with the names of every Medal of Honor recipient since its inception during the Civil War. Sergeant Sabo's name was the most recent, and my father wanted to see it. I was fortunate enough to have the foresight to call my father's congressional representative's office and request their assistance in getting a tour of the Pentagon. I was informed it was not possible, but 3 weeks later I received an email that said we were on the list to visit last week, May 25th. This was quite exciting because I never thought that I would get in to see the Pentagon. My father had packed his American Legion Commander uniform, which dates back to 1926. It was decorated with my father's service medals from World War II and Korea. He had his cap decorated, and I persuaded him to wear it for the tour, which he was glad to do. Our tour guides were Air Force and Army enlisted personnel, and they were quite impressive. The most impressive thing was that the guide in the front walked backwards the entire length of the mile-and-a-half tour. He never once looked behind him, and his knowledge of the Pentagon and points of interest along the tour were admirable. I had a wheelchair to push my father around in, and that helped us stay near the front of the tour so we could listen and see as much as possible. The murals, paintings, and exhibits located along the path of the tour were striking and memorable. Unfortunately, no photography was allowed. Being the Pentagon, that's understandable. The tour included a lengthy visit to the shrine where Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon on September 11, 2001. It was also to include a visit to the Hall of Heroes, and I was quite disappointed when the guide informed me that there would not be enough time to do so. Fortunately, though, I like a challenge, and I used my art of persuasion to tell our guides whenever I was within earshot that they had to please let us visit the Hall of Heroes because I can't send my father back to Elwood City without doing so. Since Sergeant Sabo's recognition was recent, everyone knew of it, and in the end the tour guides were quite sympathetic and allowed us to visit the Hall of Heroes, where we saw the names of all 3,459 recipients, including Sergeant Sabo's, on the walls. Since Sergeant Sabo was the most recent inductee to the Medal of Honor Hall of Heroes, he had a gold star next to his name. Overall, it was a very cool tour, but my father and I both wished we had more time to view the pictures and paintings, all of which were one of a kind. On May 27, we traveled to D.C. to listen to the National Memorial Day Choral Festival at the Kennedy Center. This festival was a fourth annual celebration of Memorial Day with music dedicated to the honor of those who fought the horrors of war. It is led by the U.S. Army Orchestra and 200 choral singers from around the country who travel to add their voices in honor of this nation's fallen. I was quite excited this year because the opening song was Fanfare for the Common Man by Aaron Copland. My father and I are common, and Sergeant Sabo was as well. What he did was uncommon, and his memory during this festival was quite appropriate. Tickets were free, and I'm super glad I ordered them as I could, because they soon became unavailable online. They didn't last long, and I ordered an extra one and invited my friend Mike to join us. Mike is a Vietnam veteran who was severely injured near the North Vietnamese border the same week Sergeant Sabo was killed. Mike received the Purple Heart and spent the next year in Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, D.C. He's also a musician And he just returned from his first visit to Vietnam in 42 years. The festival had some profound effects on him, and I was really glad to have his company. The music was amazing and moving. My favorite part last year and this year was Colonel Gabriel, who guest conducts him to the following. Colonel Gabriel was a U.S. Army infantryman invaded through Omaha Beach on D-Day, lasted through to the Ardennes Forest and the Battle of the Bulge, was the sole survivor of a three-man foxhole during that battle, lived long afterwards, he's 87 years old, became the main music conductor for the U.S. Air Force following World War II, and to see him come up and conduct and honor his comrades who left him so many years ago, it's actually quite touching. After the performance, I had my father go out into the hallway and greet and thank some of the choral singers, and I'm so glad I did, because he met people who knew his brother and my namesake, my uncle the priest, who served in Sandusky, Ohio, where some of the singers were from. Through them, my father got to meet the main conductor, Dr. Craig Jessup. Going to and leaving the festival was also a special treat and quite a bitch of a hassle because of all the motorcycles from Rolling Thunder. Rolling Thunder is nicknamed after Rolling Thunder of the B-52 strikes in Vietnam. Rolling Thunder is thousands of motorcycles descending on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial to educate the public that many American prisoners of war, 1,600 of them, were left behind after all previous wars, and to help correct the past and protect future veterans from being left behind should they become prisoners of war or missing in action. They are also committed to helping American veterans from all wars. May 27 was an amazing day. Memorial Day, May 28, I was not looking forward to because it was going to be hot as hell and my father wanted to be in uniform and in the sun and where the memorial services were going to be and the parade, and it's going to be a bitch to travel in Washington, D.C. Our plans were a bit unclear, but he received a call from Mrs. Sabo the previous evening informing him of the very special Memorial Day observance that was to take place at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, The Wall, near the Lincoln Memorial. Traffic, the heat, and the crowds were going to be a bitch, but my father was not to be deterred. His uniform and wheelchair granted us special access to the Vietnam Veterans area, not near the President or Mrs. Sabo, but it was close enough and we had a pretty good view of everything, and we were surrounded by many of our brothers and sisters. Being a veteran myself, I felt very comfortable in this crowd that I've been used to over the past several years, especially since I moved back here after living in Japan. This event was much more than I'd expected. It was a two-hour service and included such dignitaries as the President, First Lady, the Secretary of Defense, and Secretary of the Interior, both of whom are Vietnam veterans. Sergeant Sabo's widow and the President laid a wreath together at the wall following his profound speech demanding that this nation never again turn its back on veterans. Throughout the service, the message was, honor the warrior, not the war. The service concluded after taps with an amazing flyover of helicopters, a C-130 and a B-52, all from the Vietnam War era. After 4 hours in the sun, all I wanted to do was go home, but my father was not leaving until we got to see Sergeant Sabo's name on the wall. I agreed and my family followed. My family was really great that day. They bared the heat and the patience much better than I thought they could do, and probably much better than me. I was glad I was patient with my father, and I was glad I wheeled him to the wall because it is such a special place. I've been there several times and I had to remember that he hasn't. We soon found Sergeant Sabo's name, and my father was telling everyone who passed by who Sergeant Sabo was. I have three special pictures in today's show notes at todolisthome.com. The first is of Sergeant Sabo, taken in Cambodia shortly before he was killed. The second is of the Chief of Chaplains, the U.S. Army, Major General Donald L. Rutherford, presenting the Medal of Excellence and caring for the Army family to my father, Samuel T. Ulis, at the wall on Memorial Day. The two met following the service for Sergeant Leslie Sabo, and Major General Rutherford happened to meet my father following the president's speech. My dad was talking with the Vietnam veterans about Sergeant Sabo, as I mentioned, whom the president specifically mentioned, and the efforts that earned him the Medal of Honor. My father explained the efforts he and others in Lawrence County are leading to preserve and honor the memory of Sergeant Sabo. Major General Rutherford overheard him and introduced himself as Chief of Chaplains of the U.S. Army, and that he personally presided over Sergeant Sabo's Medal of Honor memorial service at the White House on May 16. My father informed General Rutherford of the memorial being created for Sergeant Sabo and the number of other memorials that he led the creation of honoring the following of Elwood City and his assistance to veterans and their families over the past 57 years. As a result of a 15-minute exchange with General Rutherford, my father was presented with the Medal of Excellence. There was really no better way to close out this visit to the wall. It was recorded by reporters from Reuters and the Department of Defense, and my father received a really warm welcome from the Vietnam veterans that were there. It was their day to honor, but they recognized him as somebody who had always honored them, even following their service from the war, regardless of when it was. But I must mention the kind Metro worker that we met on the subway in Washington, D.C. on our way to the wall. This friendly gentleman really went out of his way to meet my father. He almost chased us down because he saw my father dressed in his uniform, and he wanted to learn about my dad's military service during World War II and after. And we live in Virginia, and on the way home at our end station, we happened to meet the same Metro worker again, and he greeted us again, and he told my father to keep going strong until they meet again in glory. I bitch a lot about Metro, but I don't think I will anymore. The last picture in the show notes is of my children and my father pointing to Sergeant Sabo's name on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the wall. In today's show notes, you will find information about Sergeant Sabo and the memorial fund being led by my father. I ask that maybe you please consider when you visit todolisthome.com to learn more about Sergeant Sabo and what he did to deserve the Medal of Honor. 50 U.S. soldiers walked into an ambush of 100 North Vietnamese regulars. 7 of them killed almost instantly, including Sergeant Sabo. Although Sergeant Sabo wasn't killed instantly, his efforts and his self-sacrifice helped lead to the safe extrication of the rest of Bravo Company, who back up everything that he did that day. They were all present, the remaining ones that could still get to Washington, D.C., were present for his Medal of Honor ceremony on May 16, 2012. If you're so inclined, please consider a donation to the fund. And I also want to note that the saluting sergeant, Marine Staff Sergeant Chambers, met my father at the wall and also gave him a special gift. Please also check out this fine human being and what he does on the Sunday before Memorial Day during Rolling Thunder. This is the Marine Staff Sergeant Chambers, the saluting sergeant. I have a link to his YouTube video and what he does. Todolisthome.com. Take a look. My father's visit with us concluded with me taking him to work on May 29 to see what fine work the staff I am associated with do in the name of scientific research. In the afternoon, we went on a tour of the Library of Congress. This amazing building is so full of the written word, breathtaking architecture, sculptures, and paintings that I will visit it many more times. We saw a Gutenberg Bible, which was bought by the USA in 1930 at the price of $1 million. It was being sold by Austria, and the gentleman who had it traveled around the world trying to sell it at the height of the Depression. This Bible is huge, and it was printed on, what was it, drawn calfskin back in the 1500s, and the USA was the last stop on this tour, and luckily the USA bought it. Two other amazing things were a huge painting of Minerva, which, if you might not know, is also the Greek goddess who is on the image of the U.S. Army Medal of Honor, and the evolution of the written word, which was a mural that spread all around a huge room in the Library of Congress. It begins with cavemen and ended with Gutenberg and the printing press. But to top it off, an interesting fact I learned was that the Chinese actually invented the first movable type printing press, but theirs was made of clay. To close out the day and my father's visit, we spent time with my neighbor, retired Marine General Vincent Blas. General Blas is an amazing person with an amazing history. The stories he shared with my father 2 days ago were quite moving. Please check out his story, also located in today's show notes at todolisthome.com. That's it for today. Now go and do something useful, and don't forget those old veterans, and especially don't forget the fallen.